Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. We're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish has been going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 3, focusing on verses 6 and 7, with a message entitled, The Man God Uses. So concluding this week's study, here's Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Now, in looking at this in Nehemiah, you know, there are things that the Lord, I believe, sowed in my heart the moment I got saved and the moment that I got called to the ministry that have not been fulfilled, even at this point, some 20 years later. And one of the things that happened to me as a Christian is as I went to different churches as a new believer, I had a heart to study God's Word, and I'd go to some churches, and the Bible studies were tremendous. I had insight and depth to it, and I realized, hey, I could grow at this place, but there was something lacking in the area of worship and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I'd go and I'd look at other churches, and boy, there's a lot of gifts, and there were actually things that weren't even gifts that were taking place, unusual activities, and the worship was tremendous, and people had a sense of worship and a sense of joy there, and an openness to the Holy Spirit. Then when the pastor got up there, It was like milk being given to the congregation. And I thought, I can't survive on that. I need to be more than just motivated or preached at. I need some depth to the study if I'm going to grow. And I found in my heart saying, well, you have to make a choice. Do you want the moving of the Holy Spirit and worship, or do you want Bible study? And many years back, I said, what I think would be a good church is that you have both. You have people that are open to the Holy Spirit. You have a worship that is vibrant and people open to express their love without shame and the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit, as well as solid Bible study. That's what the Lord put in my heart many, many years ago. And some of the things that are happening in our congregation now are, it's taking place what I have prayed for years and years and years and years. Talk about frustration of you know, trying to bring some of these things about and it not taking place. It's a matter of God's work. But I believe that's a desire that I've had. And there's other things that I've only shared with my wife of things that I'd like to see take place that God's got to bring about. I've had to learn just to wait upon Him. He's had to bring the right leadership. He's had to work in the heart of us as a congregation. That doesn't happen just overnight. To lead a congregation in a direction takes time, because you want it to be genuine. You want it to be the work of God working in people's heart, longing to worship and to praise the Lord. And we're not finished where I believe we need to be in the area of worship, but we're progressing in that area. And I hope that we have a place that is, there's the real balance of powerful worship, but powerful teaching of the Word of God as well, rather than a stagnation. I don't want to have to choose. I don't think people should have to choose. So that's something I've been praying for many, many years. And it was encouraging to my heart when I spoke with Richard Chork, and he said, because he was up at the junior high retreat, and he led some worship and did some studies, and he said, these junior hires are bowing down and lifting their hands, and some were weeping before the Lord. It's just a tenderness that's there. And so God is working that into the high school and the junior high. That's exciting. But I'll tell you what, man, we better get with it. The junior hires are going to pass us right up, man. They're bowing and tears and crying out to God. We can't let the junior hires show us how to worship and be sensitive to the Lord. But I'm serious about that to a degree. These are the things that are important, what God's given to me, that I think are from heaven. To see a worshiping congregation with solid Bible study. So we don't have a freak show when we come to church, but we have real worship taking place of hearts that are just pouring out, as the Bible says, rivers of living water gushing out. I think that's the work and presence and power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's interesting. I'm doing some studies right now on the history of the Pentecostal church. I didn't realize how much of an impact Pentecostalism has had upon the body of Christ in the last 100 years. Started with 12 Bible students in, you know, 1901 that said, hey, started looking at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And to this day, right now, there's 550 million Pentecostals or charismatics around the world. God's birthed something in the Holy Spirit in these churches, and they would include us, Calvary Chapel, as part of Pentecostal or charismatic churches, but something has happened. that historians are taking a step back and saying there was a move of God in the first century called Christianity. There was another move called the Reformation. And now they're saying at the turn of the century, there was another, you know, life-changing, world-changing move when the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Pentecostal church was formed. 550 million. It's the second largest Christian influence upon the planet. God's done something there. And so many churches have looked and thought, oh, the Pentecostals are, yeah, that's enough. I don't think so. I think God's birthed something by a spirit that we could tap into. Some of the excesses, yeah, I think we should set aside. But there's a genuine work that has taken place. 550 million people. I was reading about one church in Brazil. There's 110,000 people in it. Radical what God has done. That's just in the last 100 years. And people that study these things, I don't know how they get a hold of it, but they're saying the typical denominational churches are losing membership, and it's the Pentecostal charismatic churches that are increasing and winning people to the Lord and are growing by leaps and bounds. That's got to say something. So there's something about the work and the role of the Holy Spirit in the area of worship and the gifts that we must tap into because it's given to us. And I believe that's what's, as I said, passionate in my own heart to see us be led by the Spirit of God, empowered by His Spirit, bringing these things together. Let's quickly go to Acts chapter 8. And I will wrap this up. In a general way, we looked at Nehemiah, how he was led by God. It started with a burden, and that's where you need to start. But then also, the Lord wants to specifically direct your life, down to the detail at some points. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. The Holy Spirit desires to speak to you. And this is where Philip was in Samaria, he was preaching, and a revival broke out. And now an angel of the Lord is going to tell him to leave that place. It says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is deserts. Interesting that here he's in revival area, and God tells him to leave. He tells him to go down to the desert where nobody is. Just an old deserted road. That's where Philip finds himself, directed by God to be there. And the reason is, because a guy's going to come along on the chariot reading the book of Isaiah. He's going to be reading Isaiah 53, which talks about the death of Christ. And look what the Lord tells him in verse 29. Look at it very carefully. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. See, the Spirit of God spoke directly to Philip. Now, I don't know if he heard an audible voice or was that internal voice that God speaks to us, but what I want you to see is God is also desiring to not just direct you in a general sense, here's your ministry, but now as you're in your ministry, He wants to direct you in very precise ways. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. He wants to direct your life. That means you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, submitted to the Holy Spirit if He's going to speak to you, because if you're not submitted to Him, He's not going to tell you to do anything. Why would He tell you to do something you know that you're not listening to Him? So your heart needs to be submitted. You need to be filled with the Spirit, controlled with the Spirit, empowered, and then He's going to direct you in very precise ways. This is what I want you to do at this point. Now, I'm not saying that I wake up in the morning and God gives me a list. Here's the things I have for you today. Now go do them. God's Spirit directs me. I don't hear something every day, but I'm open to the leading of the Lord, the leading of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it's very precise and direct. This is what I need you to do. Now, I know the problem is, we say, well, how do you know it's the Lord, or how do you know that's the Holy Spirit? Maybe it's the devil trying to lead me. Well, I think some things we could eliminate that it's not the devil. The devil's probably not going to tell you, hey, go and share Jesus Christ with that person. So we could eliminate that coming from the devil. Now, typically, it's probably not coming from my own heart or mind. I believe those things come from the Spirit of God. If God's telling you, go take care of that person, where do you think that's really originating from? The heart of God. He's seeing people as sheep without a shepherd. He says, I want you to take care of that person. Go minister to them. And the Spirit of God's trying to communicate that to you. But so often we doubt that. And we get to the point where we doubt it every time. Where, well, oh, the Lord doesn't speak to me. Well, we need to step out in faith. Listen, I think the Lord's called me to do this. The Spirit of God's spoken to my heart. And I don't know of any way of saying to you, here's how you know it's the Holy Spirit and here's when you don't. All I could say is, since I've been a Christian since 1980, over the last 20 years, I've tried to cultivate that in my life. And there's a certain way in which I know, or I believe it to be, the Holy Spirit or God directing me to do something. It's not going to be the same for you, because I'm in a personal relationship with the Lord. He loves me. He cares for me. He wants to speak to me. He wants to direct my life. And He's going to do that in a unique way with my life that He's not going to do with you. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to us many times, and we've just said, that's just my own voice. And we've quieted that. We need to give place to that. God's directed you in a ministry. He wants to precisely direct you in what you're called to do. See, a lot of people want to run to the pastor and say, well, you know, what do you think about this? It's like, you know, I have to pray and wrestle out what it is that God's called me to do. I believe God wants to speak to you first. You want that confirmed through others, that's different. But God doesn't want to bypass you. He wants to speak directly to you. For example, wouldn't you think it's strange if I went over to my neighbor's house and I told my neighbor, go over and tell my wife I love her, I care for her, and I really like to spend time with her. And this guy goes and tells my wife, wouldn't you think, what's wrong with that? I'm in a love relationship with God, and God wants to communicate with me directly. He doesn't want to tell you to tell me what to do. He wants to tell me directly. And some people don't even realize the Holy Spirit wants to do that. And he stirs up things, and he directs us, and we just, oh, that must be myself. So if you're going to be used by the Lord, you need to make sure it's God, he's the one raising you up, and you're in that spot that he's commissioned you to. And then as you're in that place, you need to be directed by him. And I believe that direction comes from an overwhelming burden to minister to God's people, but then also comes in that precise direction, specific direction as you're in the ministry. That's where you're going to find yourself bearing fruit that'll last forever. That's what we want to do as a church, and that's what we want to do in our individual ministries here in the body of Christ.